Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. Before we go to our special guest, I love this one on Twitter. A picture of cash kids will see in their future books and saying, people used to use this. Can you imagine? It was unsanitary. It was green. And then it was mocked. Cash, that would be a winner. That's going to be in that textbook. Laura Reese is the director of Border Security and Immigration Center at the Heritage Foundation. We had her on here and had her on nationally because of all these breaking issues. Yesterday, Pam Bondi, new attorney general, first act, I believe, rescinds federal funding for the 220-plus sanctuary cities, states across the country. Let's go to Laura here from the Heritage Foundation on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Laura, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on again, Dom.
So I remember when the Trump administration tried this the first time around with Jeff Sessions. He happened to be in Philadelphia announcing it. It was a rainy day. I could pretty much tell then Sessions didn't have the wherewithal to see this through, or maybe the Supreme Court or the other courts. How about this time around, Laura? What do they have to do to make this a reality? And that's what would break up the sanctuary cities.
Well, they certainly have the will of the American public. Americans voted strongly for border security and safety in their communities. And that includes enforcing the law as Congress passed, removing deportable aliens. And the sanctuary leaders, whether they're mayors or governors or other, who continue to say that they are not going to cooperate with federal officials to carry out federal law, are in direct contradiction of their constituents. So Pam Bondi wasted no time. Her first day as attorney general sworn in, she issued a memo ending funding for state and local jurisdictions that unlawfully interfere with federal law enforcement operations. And I think the past couple of days, all the revelations of the gross abuse of money spent through just USAID shows just how addicted so many parties are, including state and locals, to federal money.
Oh, yeah.
And so it is ridiculous for sanctuary jurisdictions to continue to take federal money when they don't cooperate with the feds to enforce federal law.
So this goes to the Supreme Court, you think?
I mean, it may. So far, the left has sued on various things Trump has done already, and they can find a liberal judge anywhere to issue a restraining order or an injunction. Those will get appealed, and then we'll see how that goes. But it continues to raise the question of, should single federal judges be able to issue a injunction that is nationwide? And you can argue, well, you know, sometimes we benefit from that on the right. But this is a question that the Supreme Court Chief Justice Roberts really should address, as he is responsible for federal judges throughout the country. Should single liberal judges be able to halt lawful orders by the executive?
Yeah, I think across the board, whether it hurts conservatives or not, I would be in the camp that says, no, they should not. This just stymies where the will of the people is, and you usually get somebody. I mean, sometimes you get a crackpot on the right. Usually are these progressive judges that just get their name out there, and they hold everything up. What jumps out at you now, 2 weeks into this? Has Homan delivered on the shock and awe that he said? I would say pretty much yes. What would you say?
Yeah, they're doing a good job rounding up aliens, particularly criminal aliens, gang members, Trinidad Agua, the Venezuelan gang, in Aurora, Colorado, and elsewhere, and getting them out of here. It is good that they are using Guantanamo as a point of housing aliens who we are removing, but that does not get Congress off the hook. ICE needs significant increase in funding and resources from Congress, and they need to hurry up and do that. I don't know what's going on in the House. We're now to the point where the Senate is saying we're tired of waiting on the House to do a reconciliation budget bill to get such resources through. We, the Senate, are going to go first, even though, you know, the Senate's been doing their confirmation hearings and votes. Really, the House should be going first, but not much is happening over in the House.
I agree with you. Yeah, the Senate looks more poised to do it. Is it too early to tell now? We'll be getting to the next round, or they're mixed into this, people that have deportation orders already. After that, what do you read? You know, have you thought about it? Are the American people really on board after those, which might be a year or more, looking at people that are also unlawfully here but are not criminal aliens?
Yeah, all removable aliens should be on the table, not just criminal aliens, but not just the more than 1 million aliens who had final orders of removal and absconded. Then it's a bit of a mixed bag in terms of public opinion. When you ask, some say, well, if they've been here a number of years, they should stay. If they were working, they should stay, which really deserves some digging into, because if you think about it, if someone's here illegally and for a long time, that is a longer violation of the law. Why should they benefit from that? If someone is working right without authorization, that is yet a second violation of the law. Why should someone who's working get to benefit from that? And in often cases, they are using stolen identification or false ID, false Social Security number, which are even more violations of the law. So I think it is worth, it requires some educating, I think, so that Americans understand, look, not only have we just suffered through an additional 11 million inadmissible aliens that just the Biden administration brought in and overran our communities unsustainably, but we need to have a serious conversation about, just because the law has been ignored and that's been tolerated, we've looked the other way for decades, we can't continue to do this.
No, I would argue, to the point you made, the longer they're here, the more benefit they've gotten by being here already.
Right. Yeah. So, we should say, look, you have gotten a lot of benefits. You're welcome. It's now time to go. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Phil Murphy, we don't know what to make of exactly what he's doing here. Laura, but we've talked a lot about it because we're right here with him saying he has somebody here illegally. And we hear pretty reliably he would have had the state police block, potentially, the ICE agents coming in. It shows me that Homan, as aggressive as he appears in some interviews, is not going to be lured into some kind of trap here of some sort, whatever Murphy was thinking.
Yeah, then after Murphy said that, I think one of his staff came out and said, oh, no, that was incorrect. And so not a lot of confidence by the public in the New Jersey governor. But also Pam Bondi, as attorney general, in her memo of halting funds for sanctuary jurisdictions, included in that to prosecute people who are violating the immigration code by harboring or shielding illegal aliens. And so I do think that this Justice Department will investigate and prosecute leaders who do that. And we'll see. Maybe after the first prosecution, some of these others who've been mouthing off on this get in line. But I do have full confidence that Attorney General Bondi will pursue that.
Absolutely. Laura, thank you so much. Where can people find you? Where do they go?
They can follow me on X at LORA_RIES or at heritage.org.
Thank you, Laura. Thanks very much for coming on today.
Thanks so much.
Laura Reese here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, that gives you a good sense of where we are. 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Hit us on the side question also. A little bit later on, we're going to talk with someone, it seems like years ago. Maybe it was a year ago. I don't know. In a local school district around the book To Kill a Mockingbird, where they rejected it. They don't like that book. And shocking, the reasons why. That's the most approved book. Whenever PBS and these others ask, what's the book all Americans should read or you find? And all, it's To Kill a Mockingbird. And yet it's being rejected along racial lines. It's almost, well, you know, the convoluted thinking of these school districts that engage in this, I see exactly where they're going. It's not Central Bucks West. I mean, there's a lot of these districts in the suburbs who engage in this stuff. I'd love to get you on board at 855-839-1210. You get on board. A little bit more of what I started to develop a moment ago, then we'll go to some callers. Democrats are trying to say that they are trying to be in touch with the American people and with what the American people want. Here is Scott Jennings last night breaking the code about what the National Democrat Party is engaged in now. And let's hope they keep it up because it is a political loser. Cut 14.
He's describing what is currently the dumbest strategy in politics, which is Democrats taking the 20% side of every 80-20 issue in America. USAID, people want this pared down. They want it streamlined. They want to know where the money is going. Democrats have a meltdown. Today, Donald Trump signs executive order on keeping boys out of girls' sports. Democrats take the 20 side of that issue as well. All these issues, this is like Trump's superpower, finding a bunch of 80-20 issues, getting on the 80, and everybody who's sort of reflexively against him gets on the 20. And now the Democratic Party has like a 31% approval rating. This is why.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. They're taking issues and they're telling themselves the American people really still don't care about all this transgender stuff. They're trying to say, well, how many people is it? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's more the point of emphasis. It's more the stuff of Leah Thomas and a million others. Doesn't matter if it's 1%. That's not the point. How in the world could you inflict this upon girls' sports? Here is Congressman Jim Himes. This is Cut 13. He's making the point that the American people really don't care about USAID. Well, they don't care about USAID, but they do care. They don't want their money going in. First of all, I think polling indicates over the years I've done talk radio, they don't want any foreign aid or almost any. And certainly not foreign aid. That's just the ideology of a bunch of insiders who are trying to make people in Guatemala recognize transgender athletes. But here's a top Democrat, Himes, saying people really don't care about that.
They chose a guy who uses the language that Donald Trump does, threatens to destroy things, threatens to prosecute his political enemies. And look, the American people chose that. And that means we need to be very, very thoughtful about sentiment, right? And there's a couple things to say in that regard. Number one, as always, and we forget this, we always forget this, it's the economy, stupid. You know, we made a strategic decision to run on women's reproductive rights and the defense of democracy, both of which are absolutely essential, but it is the economy, stupid. And right now we're at risk of, because we're a little bewildered, chasing every, you know, if I may mix my metaphor, shiny squirrel that Donald Trump throws out there. And if we're not careful, we will screw this up. You know, case in point, you know, a lot of my colleagues went and raised hell outside of USAID yesterday. And what's happening inside USAID is inexcusable. A lot of people raising hell about Doge people showing up at Treasury with computer equipment and getting access to payment systems. I promise you that your middle class family out there really doesn't care that much about USAID and the IT procedures inside Treasury. So I know I'm going to piss some people off by saying that, but we are at risk of chasing the latest shiny squirrel, you know, and not staying focused on the fact that everything Donald Trump is doing so far is going to raise people's energy and food prices.
All right, this is what they're hoping. This is what it comes down to. And this is going to be, look, I'll be honest, it's going to be difficult for Trump. Biden has so screwed up. The reason they didn't run on the economy, how could they? Kamala Harris tried that. Remember that about the board that was going to set prices and all that? You have guys in the Philadelphia area that stole $100,000 in eggs. It seems like it's maybe a few hundred eggs. They're that pricey. So Trump is going to have to show progress on this. There's no doubt. But it's difficult because of how baked in Biden has made it. So we'll see. As energy loosens up, regulations loosen up, as the American spirit comes back, are we going to see better pricing, better stuff in the grocery store, more that the average American can buy and be happy with? Democrats are saying, no, you're not going to see that. And that's what they're going to try to emphasize. He hasn't done anything on that. These are all frill things you really don't care about. They care about both. And they didn't like what Biden did in either area. So they couldn't run on the economy. It wasn't a choice. They were right. How could you run on the economy? What were you going to say? All right, 855-839-1210. Come to calls next. Give us that picture, caption, that should appear in the beta generation's history books coming up, one that you think, either a person, an event, a thing, that would show them how we live now, have meaning. Maybe you think it's a role model. You can explain. 855-839-1210.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
It is Dom time, 855-839-1210. Get us on the side question. So yesterday, huge day. We're still waiting. You're wondering what's happening with the Education Department. The executive order on that. Oh, I almost forgot the other big news. Special programming today, right? The Hank Sports Moments. Is that what we're calling it? Henry doesn't have an
official. No, we're still going to have to workshop it. I need some. I'd like some suggestions from the
Well,
listeners.
Hank's got to be in there since Hanks. These guys. Hanks, yeah. Hanks, Dan, you're in charge of this super production.
I don't know. I kind of like something with Hank.
Yeah, I do
I'm
too.
I'm down. Yeah.
Hank's takes, no.
Okay.
Something alliterative, maybe.
What rhymes with Hank? Blank.
Prank. Hank.
Hank's
Prank.
Cranks?
Yeah, Hank's Cranks for now.
I don't know.
That'll be at 1:45 today. A little bit for the casual sports fan and others, and I'm sure I'll be throwing some things to me and Dan to answer, coming from the world of sports. So definitely a new edition each Thursday at about 1:45-ish.
Sports with Hank? Doesn't work.
Yeah.
We'll workshop it.
Okay.
I trust in the listeners and the chat and everybody.
Oh yeah. Hit us on YouTube with that. Hit us on Twitter. Little title for that. I almost forgot.
Save a horse, ride a... Oh, that's something else.
That debuts today. Let's go to Joe in Exton, and Joe's first in on the side question today, a little bit late. Hey, Joe, welcome in.
Yes, hello, Dom, and good afternoon.
Afternoon.
In the future history books, there's going to be a chapter and a photograph of the first female mayor ever in the history of Philadelphia.
Oh, you think so? The local
E-L-D-S-E-S.
Is... Will that be in the spelling textbook also, Joe?
The kindergarten book, yes.
Okay, thank you, Joe. All right, well, that's very local, hyper-local, Sherelle Parker.
Hey, what the heck do kids in Illinois care about Sherelle Parker?
I know. What, here locally?
They don't have mayors out in Chicago to look up to. So.
Yeah, here locally. Yeah, that's right. They're going to have to use Sherelle Parker. 855-839-1210.
Oh, we'll be in, former producer Bill Kornfeld. With
yes.
The,
Ooh.
How
okay.
about Hank's Sports Bank?
Ooh.
Hank's Sports Bank. Okay, we'll go with it now. Maybe we can get a bank sponsor for this.
Please.
All right, Bill, send some hockey material to him. Not that we're going to be dwelling on hockey, really.
Given I can, yeah. I mean,
all
I
that's, all that's gone on.
Matvey Michkov.
Okay.
Disgruntled.
Sensation.
We're going to talk. We're going to talk a little bit with Henry with that. We're also going to talk with Paula Scanlon today, who I'm not sure if she was at the White House tonight. She's one of the Penn swimmers who, at that point, shut up, were bludgeoned. Lawsuit out there today. Now, this is one I hope they win. But speaking of Henry and sports here, world of sports is important. It's not just the candy world and all. To me, it's important. And I think to a lot of listeners, ESPN yesterday wrote this piece on Wednesday after President Trump signed the EO to keep women's sports away from male athletes. And they went out of their way to regurgitate all the asinine and dangerous gender ideology in a tweet linking to an article detailing Trump's order. ESPN described males as people who were biologically assigned male at birth.
Now think about this. This is ESPN. This is the world of sports. How did sports, even if you were slightly liberal, how did sports go from the world of rough and tumble? Think of the athletes. Think of the stuff that goes on in football. And yet, these sports entertainment vehicle, with all the things that are out there, ESPN has been the biggest over the last 15, 18, 20 years. They tweet out people who were biologically assigned male at birth. The linked article also used the phrase assigned male at birth to describe human males. So the world of sports has been corrupted. A, they get into things they shouldn't be getting into, in my view. And B, when they do, they're on this tangent that flies in the face. Why in the world engage in this? Don't you realize what the rest of the world has decided on this? And they're not just deciding because of the fear of, women athletes being harmed, injured physically. It's the competition of sports. Riley Gaines has talked a lot about what it took to shave a tenth of a second off swimming and then have them to swim. And she did tie in one event, Leah Thomas. Who in the world that loves sports would sit there for a second and say, yeah, we want to watch this. We think it's discriminatory. It's a tell. It's a Rorschach test of how far you've gone. And ESPN, now look, it's not everybody there, but these are the people that tweet this out, assigned male at birth, engaging in this. Think of how far we've come. Well, they've done a lot to ruin sports. You know, the highlight stuff over the substance of a game. A whole litany of that. But we'll do our best here with Henry every Thursday at 1:45, looking at something, give him a platform to kind of spin it around this. We'll have some fun with that. 855-839-1210. You get on board. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All that you have to do is just push #1210. Dan, this is cut 7. Yet CNN brought on, and they didn't challenge much, a trans athlete who says there's no evidence that trans athletes have an advantage. Here's how it sounded.
Thanks so much for being with us. I wonder what your reaction is to Trump signing this executive order. How do you weigh the impact that this would have on athletes?
We knew that this was coming. This was a campaign promise that the Republicans put a lot of money into in the lead up to the presidential election. It has been a pillar of their party for the last several years. So it's not a surprise that this is coming today. It's disappointing, though, that this is happening on National Women and Girls in Sports Day and taking away from some of the actual real things that people can do to support women and girls in sports.
So when you hear people say, this is how it should be. Trans athletes have a competitive advantage over non-trans athletes. What do you say to them?
There's no evidence that trans athletes an advantage over anyone else in sports. Trans athletes play sports for the same reasons as anybody else for our love of the game.
Are there moderators there? Can you jump in anytime soon?
Part of a
Can
team
you stop this? Please, let me stop. Let me in there. Can you imagine prattling on? No evidence about any advantage.
To challenge ourselves, and most of all, for the youth level, to have fun. And every young person deserves that opportunity to be their authentic self and to play the sports that they love without compromising any part of who they are.
I'm curious about that, Chris, because you say that there's no evidence that there's a competitive advantage, but we've heard from parents who've had a different experience. They've argued that there is irrefutable evidence, irrefutable differences in physiology between the sexes, that hormone therapies don't sufficiently level the playing field. Do you get where they're coming from?
We have to look at what we're talking about here. And if we're talking about youth sports is part of our educational system. And as part of our educational system, young people learn values such as discipline, hard work, leadership, teamwork, communication skills, and so much more from their participation in sports. We know that each body is different, every person is different, and that even amongst cisgender kids, that are kids that are not transgender, there are differences in their strength, their speed, their ability, their natural ability, as well as differences in their access to good coaching, to
great equipment. Oh, my God. All right. So stop there, Dan. Thank you. But, you got to do a better job of challenging this. You cannot just sit there and not ask specifics, bring up expert opinion, bring up the eye test of what's going on here. So again, they continue to fight this battle. We're going to see what happens next. We're going to see what happens to school districts like Central Bucks. They'd be number one on my list. If I have contact with the Trump, number one on my list, go after them. Take away the money, do whatever you want with them, because they're dug in that they're going to stick on this. They don't care what the science says. They don't care what you're telling them around funding. They are just determined that somehow or another, something is wrong with us. We're being bigoted, discriminatory, or making stuff up. It's obvious the advantage Leah Thomas had, for example, swimming against Riley Gaines. Just take a look at the length of stroke. Just take a look at the body of 6'4". Versus this, the testosterone advantage, the wind advantage. Everybody knows this. Let's go to Maureen in Wynwood on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Maureen, good afternoon.
Oh, hey, Dom. Hi, Dan. I just wanted to tell you, thanks for taking my call. I was just saying that watching that executive order being signed yesterday and all those women and girls around him was very, very moving to me.
Why was it moving to you, Maureen?
Well, I was a swimmer in the 1960s. I was highly ranked, and it was before the time of Title IX, and I did it, and my sister, we did it for the sheer joy of it, and we were very good. And to think that you'd let men into something that took a long time to happen in the first place, that really bothered me. It really bothered me all this time that has been going on. So that was very powerful to me yesterday.
I can imagine. One of the greatest things in women's sports is, you're right, the development of people like you who broke through with that. And then in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, women's sports became what they are today and all the benefit that happens. And somehow or another, we are going to say that you are a bigot if you don't want to lose out to someone who just is physically superior and can't be beaten, like Leah Thomas, by these other women. So yesterday had to be a day of liberation for women's sports.
Oh, it was. I was crying. In fact, I could cry again right now.
Well, Maureen, thank you. Thank you, and thanks for calling in with that. Appreciate it very much. 855-839-1210. Coming up, we're going to speak with Danielle Vitale. Haverford School District was the scene of this. She's speaking on behalf of herself, not the school district. She brought to our attention, or we saw it out there, Dan, I'll ask her, I forget how, that they were, a few years back, not allowing To Kill a Mockingbird to be read in schools. Think of that awful phrase. It's right up there with white adjacent, the white savior complex. You know, the idea that the white guy is the Gregory Peck, or the character in the book, in the film, it's Gregory Peck's character, is there to save the day. What's happened since is even more bizarre in its own way. But we'll take your calls, too, at 855-839-1210. All right, good Thursday. It is Dom time. Welcome in, 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. Danielle Vitale, somehow or another, we saw this, came to our attention about what was going on at the Haverford School District a while back around the book that everybody loves, everybody sees as tremendous, the film, too, To Kill a Mockingbird. Haverford School District is a highly rated, most mined school district. Let's go to Danielle and get an update on that on Talk Radio 1210. Danielle, welcome back. Thank you for contacting us.
Hi, Tom. Thank you so much for having me back again. And thank you also for announcing that I am speaking on behalf of myself and not on behalf of the school district of Haverford Township. But thank you again for having me back on.
So, Danielle, when you came to us before, were you on the school board? I'm trying to remember the exact sequence of events around To Kill a Mockingbird. What happened?
So, yes, I was on the school board then. I am still on the school board now. It was about 2 years ago when you guys had reached out to me because it was in local newspapers. The school district of Haverford Township had quietly shelved To Kill a Mockingbird from our language arts curriculum against teacher recommendation. When I probed into this, I was told, oh, it made some students uncomfortable, which I thought was odd. You know, you learn by making people uncomfortable. It's good to have discussions and conversations. I went on to find out that the teachers who wanted to teach this book and fought for it were forced to go to trainings where they were called racist by the facilitator who admitted he never even read To Kill a Mockingbird because he refused to read white authors. So that is when you guys had reached out to me. I would say it'll probably be 2 years, this maybe a year and a half ago that that was going on. And since that time, the book has, you know, could you get it in the library? Absolutely, in our schools, but it was not taught in our eighth grade language arts curriculum.
And that is one
so
of the books
where had left off.
That most school districts, at least by and large, they're going to use that book. And I would distinguish it from Huck Finn. I would teach Huck Finn if I were still there and doing something with that. But you do have the N-word in there, even though the whole point of the book is Huck Finn seeing Jim as a person, as a man in development across the book. That's more problematic, but I don't think To Kill a Mockingbird has anywhere near the same problem. So, Danielle, if you put a button on it, when the school board and these others start to pressure on this, or the people there at Haverford, what's the objection? What's the core of the objection?
So about a year and a half ago, or 2 years ago, I got so many different answers from so many different people, and it just kind of went quiet. But interestingly, the objections have kind of come to the surface now. This past January, just last month, at our curriculum meeting, the district announced that they were going to return To Kill a Mockingbird to our curriculum, though this time it was going to be taught in 10th grade at the high school, which is fine. I'm thrilled it's back in the curriculum. Right. But then the objections started from the school board. And board members, most board members who were in attendance at that meeting, voiced a lot of objections. And, you know, anyone who wants to watch these meetings, anyone can come to them, but they are available online. You know, you don't have to take my word for it. You could watch them right now and pull them up on YouTube. The objections were that To Kill a Mockingbird is told from a white perspective, that there is no fully developed Black character, that there, the author doesn't, and the quote was, invite you in. I do not know what that means. I've asked some teachers. Mm-hmm. They don't know what that means either. That we don't have safeguards to protect students who are uncomfortable. And I kind of sat there in disbelief. And, you know, at the time, I kind of take the stuff in and, you know, I voiced my pleasure at it coming back into the curriculum and, you know, how we can't judge works the past by today's standards. But I did refute this at our last meeting in January, that it's just nonsensical to say you can't teach a book because it's taught from a white perspective. It's told from the perspective of a little girl who is trying to figure out why life is not fair. And yes, that little girl is white, but I didn't realize that was a problem. And sure, there's no fully developed Black character, but I didn't know that we had a criteria in teaching literature to children where a book has to be told from every perspective with fully developed characters of every race, creed, mm-hmm. you know, nationality, sexuality. I don't think these books exist. It was just lots of, I thought, just a whole bunch of nonsense and that I had never heard since I've been on the board, thrown at any other book, to the point that I pointed out the book that replaced To Kill a Mockingbird in our eighth grade curriculum, a book called The House on Mango Street, has a gang rape in it. And I had never heard of an objection about safeguards for our students and anything. What if that doesn't that make people uncomfortable? It was just, it was my head spins now saying it to you. I can't figure it out. But these objections were voiced.
Yeah.
You know, there were things I heard a year and a half ago, whispers and people saying this was going on. I was just told that it made students uncomfortable. That was the only official thing that was put forth to me and what the teachers, the trainings they went to. But, you know, it was pretty clear where a lot of the board stood at the our past January curriculum meeting.
So, Danielle, as far as I can tell, some, these people have taken or they've listened to people who say there's a white savior complex, that type of language, you know, that Gregory Peck's character, the character in the book, the main character, is a white person and they're saving the day here. It's outrageous that you would take out the book that Americans refer to when they're asked what is the most popular book, the book in the country that's inoffensive. So as I understand it, what you've told us is you believe now that the teachers are going to back away from this, even though it was put back in the curriculum, it probably won't be taught?
That is what I have been told by teachers in the district, that they were given following the curriculum meeting in January, when there was a lot of board pushback by mm-hmm. not by myself, but by other board members, that they were given a laundry list of questions the following day to justify their teaching
wow.
of To Kill a Mockingbird. Questions that were all based on the comments that I just said to you. You know, what are the safeguards? What are the companion texts? How are you inviting people in? And these teachers are well aware of what happened to their middle school colleagues. You know, teachers have a hard job. And you know, you're just piling, you're just making, putting a lot of roadblocks, making it more of a hassle to teach it. You know, it's easier to find another text. So that's kind of what is happening. Yeah,
Danielle,
now
let me ask. So these are the
and
board.
Again, I am not aware.
Right. These are the board members. Do you think the community at large, look, people lead busy lives. Maybe they're a bit unaware of it. You think Haverford is the type of place then that would say To Kill a Mockingbird has to go through this scrutiny, that there's something, no safeguards, something wrong with it?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think the problem is exactly what you just said, Dom. I think people lead busy lives. You know, they're working. Your kids right. are in 1,000 activities. You're running here, there, and everywhere. People aren't looking for problems. People aren't looking for trouble. And some people might not know, you might not know what your high school child is reading, or you might see, you know, or what they aren't reading. And I don't think people are aware, because when I do speak to people, they're shocked and upset. But at the same time, no one's going to go, a lot of people aren't going to go out on a limb and fight for this, because people are busy. They're good people. They're busy.
Right.
They just, it's not a fight they want to, and it's kind of makes people, I want to say, a little uncomfortable. Like, you know, am I going to put myself out there? I mean,
right.
to me, my whole thing is I was elected to be on the board. If I'm not going to say what I want to say, then what's the point of putting all this time and effort in and not speaking up for what I believe in? Because as you pointed out, it's a classic piece of American literature. I mean, one of my two favorite books from high school, and so many lessons to be learned. It's a timeless story. And of course, you need balance in all curriculums. But, you know, I went to high school in the 90s and I had a very balanced curriculum. Yes, I read the classics like To Kill a Mockingbird, A Scarlet Letter, A Separate Piece, A Catcher in the Rye. I also read Toni Morrison, Maya Angelou. I mean, you can, it's all about balance. Like, it's all about balance. No one's asking you to just teach one type of book. So it's crazy to me. And I think we do a good job in the district of having a good balance. But I don't understand, since the time I've been on the board, there's no other text that I'm aware of that has faced this type of scrutiny and this feedback.
Well, Danielle,
I'm not aware of any.
I thank you, because I know, you know, it's a bit nerve-wracking to do stuff like this. I really commend you for bringing it to our attention. And we'll continue to see what the response is. But again, it is to your point, yes, you don't have to read just white authors or To Kill a Mockingbird. Some of the other suggestions are there. This is sad that you have people buying into this, but I'm thinking we're going to see change here now. Things are changing a bit. So, Danielle, please keep us in the loop. Give us an update. We're happy to talk again.
Thank you so much for having me on, Dom.
You're welcome. Danielle Vitale here on Talk Radio 1210. I've given you some of the rationale. We'd love to hear from the Haverford School Board, and come on at any time and tell us why To Kill a Mockingbird, they bludgeoned out of existence there. It's just another story. It's a bigger story than this. It's a school board thing again. The people in that area really object to Kill a Mockingbird. Well, kids will get the wrong idea if they read this. What wrong idea? All right, more on that. And coming up, the debut of Talking Sports with Hank, or something like that, however we want to phrase
Hank
it, with Henry.
Hank to the bank? Is that what we
Yeah, Hank to the bank.
Joe in Bordentown online, he had a good question.
What's that?
Henry's Huddle, or Hank's Huddle.
All right, Hank's Huddle, since we're in football season. Okay, Hank's Huddle coming up here, the debut, and your calls. Hey, it's time to celebrate American Heart Month with Rescue Natural Supplements. For nearly 40 years, Rescue Omega-3s have been providing people with the essentials to fortify heart health, reduce inflammation, and support healthy cholesterol levels. That's why it's the best time to dive into Rescue's February special. Right now. Boy, that turkey wrap got me there.
Yeah.
Woo! Good sandwich. A lot spicy.
Right now.
But right now, Rescue's most popular products, their premium omega-3 fish oils, are buy one, get one free exclusively for radio listeners. Just use the listener code OMEGA50 when placing your order. Call them today at 800-26-ALIVE. That's 800-262-5483. Speak to a knowledgeable product consultant, or you can use the code OMEGA50, OMEGA50, online when you visit RES-Q.com. That's RES-Q.com. And don't forget that code when you do, OMEGA50, OMEGA50, when buying one bottle of Rescue Omega-3s to receive that second bottle free. Again, use the code OMEGA50, fortify your heart, support a healthier well-being with a Rescue Omega-3.
Welcome into the inaugural first ever, I guess it's the same thing, Hank's Sports Tank. Take it away, Hank.
Well, thank you.
Let's hope it doesn't tank here, Dan. Yeah, I'm not riding.
Why would
this.
You say that?
Oh, bank.
Tell me to break a leg or
Hank
something.
Hank's Sports Bank.
All right, that's right. I'm riding the tank here, Dan. Anywho. That's a Freudian slip, yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway, welcome in. Thanks for listening. Today, I'm going to take you through the wild world of sports, both local and nationally. And we're going to start locally with the team that probably has the least buzz in town right now, and that would be the Philadelphia Flyers.
Hey!
The Flyers, unfortunately, have lost four straight, three of which were in shutouts. So a bit of trouble putting the puck on net lately. They did go to overtime with the Utah Hockey Club the other night on Tuesday.
That's a team?
Yeah, you didn't know that? Oh, yeah, the Utah
Hockey
Club.
The Mormons are out there playing hockey?
Yeah, so that...
Mitt Romney,
they steal the team from Phoenix or something?
They stole the team from the Arizona. They stole the Coyotes from Arizona, moved it up to Utah. I'll tell you what, that Ryan Smith, the owner of the Jazz, he's building something out there. He's putting a hockey team out there. He's funding BYU's NIL money.
And what's the name of the hockey team?
It's the Utah Hockey Club. They are waiting.
Terrible name.
But they are okay. So they
Pick
are
a freaking mascot.
They are letting the fans choose the mascot.
No, you do that before you start the team.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they started the team on the fly. I mean, they took a terrible team out of Arizona and moved it here, and they're trying to get it all going again. So, you know, give them a year to settle on a name. Unfortunately, a team with no name did beat the Flyers in overtime on a last second shot that just beat the buzzer. Unfortunately, that is a four-game skid for the Flyers. They take on the first-placed in the East, Washington Capitals, tonight and look to move from out of the basement in the Metro Division. Moving on, how about we go the other team in town that really doesn't have a lot of buzz, and that would be our Philadelphia 76ers.
Trash!
This week, the Sixers blew a 26-point lead to the Boston Celtics on Sunday night for the national audience to see. How'd you think of that one, Dom?
I thought they played pretty well, considering that they don't have, you know, they have reluctant players who are always injured. I was expecting a collapse.
Trash.
Yeah. I mean, it was fair. And you know what? The trade deadline got off to an early start when the Sixers shipped off Caleb Martin to the Mavericks, and that was the biggest trade the Mavericks made all week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some are saying.
What's up? They traded another guy named Martin, too. Is it too much lettering on the back of the uniform with
KJ
Martin?
Yeah, they had enough. Enough of the Martins.
From the one jersey to the other, yes.
Yeah. But speaking of that Mavericks trade, the Mavericks did make a big splash this week when they traded their 25-year-old international superstar Luka Doncic to the Los Angeles Lakers for their aging superstar Anthony Davis. Right. And a lot of sources are pointing, you know, are wondering why. Why would you even do this? This is a guy who's about to enter the prime of his career. He took you to the NBA Finals last year. That's what Luka Doncic did with the Mavericks. Why would you trade him right now as he's about to enter his prime? Well, a lot of people were pointing to the fact that in that NBA Finals last year, he looked completely out of shape. He was very large. Right. He did not look like he was in playing shape, and he was walking up and down the court
in a lot of finals possessions.
I understand he was in the finals, but look.
He's a 25-year-old who looks like he's 35.
Oh, come on,
this,
though.
This plays to the bigger point. Since LeBron James went to the Miami Heat back in 2010, it started a revolution of player empowerment, not only in the NBA, but in sports generally. Is this move by sending Luka Doncic, who is viewed by his own organization as kind of unwilling to change his diet, get in shape, is this the first step back in getting the owners and the GMs and the coaches the power back away from the players?
Owners are taking back their power, Dom.
In this case, I agree with the owners, but overall, I'm a players guy. You guys are the guys that are against the players. You are a socialist. I'm against the draft. I'm against the cap. I'm against all that stuff.
Against the cap?
I'm against everything.
Oh, wow. Right? Yeah, you really want the small market.
I blow it all up. That's right. Yeah.
All right.
I don't care about any of that. Let the player go where he can get the most money and be happy. That's capitalism.
That's fair. All right. And then real quick on the Sixers. You see they brought Jay Butt back to town? Jay Butler?
Yes.
Jared Butler is coming to town. They just traded for him today, this morning, from the Wizards. That's where the other Martin went, KJ Martin. Reggie Jackson, excuse me. If you want to know, I think he'll be a poor man's Jared McCain, and I mean that in the best way possible.
All right. That means
Eagles Super Bowl.
Means he'll have worse nail polish.
Yeah.
From what I can tell.
Maybe not. But anyway, Eagles Super Bowl, 1.5-point dogs to these Kansas City
Chiefs.
And you
go.
I'm going to go the Eagles money line the whole way. I mean, there's no way I can bet a different way. It's plus money. They're just as good, if not better, than the Chiefs. It's got to be that way.
I think that's a homer undermining the credibility of the Hank tanking here. A homer position there, yeah.
I mean, is it? I mean, I don't think it is. They're better at every position except maybe quarterback.
Yeah, they should win.
And ahead of the game coming up Sunday, in case it was needed, another reason to love Saquon Barkley, Henry. Take a listen.
Yeah, I think, I don't think it's ironic the year that I try to really hone in and grow my faith, I happen to have, my best season. I don't think that's ironic at all. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, I know the Bible 100, like, in and out. It's something I'm learning. I'm challenging myself to get better at with my family and my friends. It's really lucky that my agent, he's a pastor, and I'm able to have Bible studies with him, but just growing. And I think that's the beautiful thing about it. And I think that's what religion and faith is having a relationship with God and understanding who Jesus is. And that's what I've been trying to do this year, and I'm going to continue to try to get better at it. But
well, that should be played more. I haven't heard that in Philadelphia media enough. Thank you, Dan, for that. Thanks, Henry. All right, let us know the debut of this. We're going to go read the newspapers at Sardi's to see how it went here.
Go easy on.
No Philadelphia Union news, though, there, Henry.
Jack McGlynn got transferred.
Okay, that's it. All right, don't come on now, Dan. You're taking him down a path. Okay. All right, coming up, we'll ask Paula Scanlon, who's quite a sports figure, the woman who swam at Penn, now heading up the operation to win in New Jersey. What does she think of Trump's executive order yesterday? Dom's Money Melody and your calls on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.